This is the third hour on Wednesday, the 16th day of August. The purpose of the day is to try out a pair of merino wool socks. I wear them whether it's 10 degrees below zero or 110 degrees. My feet stay nice and comfortable. It may sound counterintuitive to wear wool socks in the summertime, but until you try it out, you don't know how good they are. I don't sell socks. You can find them at your nearest high-quality sporting goods store, or on Amazon, possibly some other places. We have with us my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff's website is jrnyquist.blog. His books are sale at Amazon. Jeff began a quest about 37 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the international communist conspiracy. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us. Are you mobile today?
Yeah, just for a few minutes.
Okay. Well, sir, all these events continue to move forward. The culture war, the war in Ukraine, all the nuances of what's going on in Europe with this war that's taking place in Europe, the first major war since World War II. And, of course, the communist Chinese doing the things they're doing all throughout Southeast Asia and the Pacific. What direction would you like to go first, sir?
Oh, I don't know what were you talking about in the previous hour?
Not too much the topics that we typically talk about. A lot on the fires in Hawaii. There was and Professor McKinney confirmed that it is possible in the modern age to publish a book in less than a day. Someone's published a book on the 10th day of this month about the fires in Hawaii while they were still burning. Which I find rather amazing, don't you?
That's amazing. I wouldn't guess that it would be particularly thoughtful, given the amount of time to process, but...
It's a short book. It's only 44 pages, which is... I've seen magazine articles that long. Anyway, Jeff, a lot of dispute about what's really happening with the war in Ukraine, as we all know.
Yeah.
First victim of any war is the truth, isn't it?
Well, I just saw Tucker Carlson's interview with RFK Jr.
Yes, sir.
Robert Kennedy Jr. And, of course, I studied, I not just read RFK's book, The Real Anthony Fauci, but I studied it. I studied the footnotes. And what I was disturbed is some of his sources were far-left sources, which were very distorted in their view of social processes. So you see, the problem always comes down to interpretation. But so there's a lot of value in Robert F. Kennedy's book, and I think he is sincere. But the problem I had with his interview with Tucker Carlson is that nearly everything he said about Ukraine and Russia was untrue in the interview.
Really?
Nearly every fact he stated as a fact was not actually a fact. Like saying that $5 billion was spent by the United States to overthrow the Yanukovych government. I have no idea where he gets this fact from. There is no such fact. There is nobody with any kind of idea. You know, I don't know where he pulls this from. You know, saying nobody died when Crimea was annexed by Russia, that's not factually true. You know, saying that that we provoked them, that it's a proxy war, all of it untrue. His characterization of the government in Kiev as being a puppet of the United States, his characterization of the Victoria Nuland Piad conversation, mischaracterized. It's in the eye of the beholder. And I think the thing that people have trouble with, because we have what's called ideologies, liberalism and socialism, people see things through these lenses. And of course, Robert Kennedy is more on the socialist side in his interpretation that capitalism is bad, government intervention is good. And of course, the thing is, we know how incompetent government is. And so how is that good? I think that we have to be more realistic about the problem. And of course, my studies give me a different view. You had our modern society evolved out of feudalism. And feudalism was warrior aristocracy, organized society, the knights on horseback, the lords, the barons, They were the watchdogs and the guardians of society. When you had this push for democracy, you had them systematically blocked out of power. All power to the people, none to the aristocrats. And so the guardians were let go. And who became the new guardians? The capitalists. Well, their main interest was not guarding, but making money. And so what you had as democracy was the person who got the most money to run for office wins. That's called plutocracy. So the problem with democracy is it becomes plutocracy. But that's fine. We all live better under plutocracy. But the problem with plutocracy is that they are easily corrupted and infiltrated and manipulated by communists. And this is what nobody understands. They all believe in these plutocratic conspiracies, but they don't realize, you know, you go back, Mao Zedong, there's a book called The Yin'an Way, written by a Peruvian Marxist. And the Yin'an Way is about lectures that Mao Zedong gave to other communists in the 1930s and 40s. And in these lectures, Mao Zedong explained, no, don't sew up the capitalist pockets. Become friends of the capitalists. Help them get rich. Use the Communist Party and its structures to enrich them. And then get all the good political positions and appointments in the villages and the towns. And then take over the country and then shoot all the capitalists. So basically on Friday, you ally with them. By Sunday, you've made them rich, and on Monday, you execute them because you've gotten all the power. And this was called the Yin'an Way. It's how Mao took over China. Mao actually made the landlords into his allies. Then he turned around and killed them when he got final power. This is their plan for global capitalism. And the global cap, everybody thinks the global capitalists are so ingenious because they can make money. I'm sorry, that idiot over there, that savant who can make money and is a genius with the markets, does not know a thing about politics. He's a complete idiot. He will go into business with a Russian or a Chinese communist, and he will basically destroy his country's position strategically by giving technology and capital goods to China and or Russia so they can build weapons to wipe us out. And that's really the history of capitalism since the 1917 revolution in Russia.
Roger that.
In a nutshell. And of course, the problem with conspiracy theory is it has no basic larger understanding of this process and thinks it's all coming from these ingenious capitalists who are really very limited individuals. Remember, capitalism is based on specialization. So you're a market expert. What in the heck do you know about history and politics and Marxism? They never even picked up a Marxist book. They think a Marxist, oh, he just wants to make money. Uh-uh, big mistake.
Thank you, Jeff. We have a regular call we haven't heard from for a while. We got Thomas in Germany. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning. Greetings. Mr. Nyquist, I'm very happy to see that Kevin Nevin Gusek has restarted his conversations at Politically Homeless podcast on YouTube. He plans to talk to you a couple of times a month now. Could
yes.
you introduce
yeah.
him to the listeners, please? I just know that he is or was a librarian who writes his own research books. And I wonder why you and him vibe so well, but I don't know enough about his background.
Yeah, Nevin is about 18 years younger than I am. And of course, he was a library scientist, and he read my book, Origins of the Fourth World War, more than 20 years ago when he was young, and he thought, well, I'm going to research this and see if what he's saying is true or not. And of course, he researched it and he found, you know, I had 1,000 pages of research. I couldn't even put all the footnotes I had in there. I just wanted a synthesis of everything. So basically, he went and researched and he says, oh, my gosh, he found a wealth of things supporting what I was saying. And of course, he realized that I was right about where things were headed. This is more than 20 years ago. So he's accumulated so much research, he's turned them into a series of books. And books about the Sino-Soviet split being false, books about Germany and how the communists manipulated the Nazis and were allied with them, how the communists have manipulated capitalism. I think one of his books is Useful Idiots on the Right. Galitzin Vindicated is another one about the KGB defector Anatoly Galitzin. So Nevin has done a tremendous amount of research. His books are for any researcher or someone who wants to check out the basic, you know, I turned everything into sort of general principles and understandings. He's got the facts that show that what I've been talking about is not nonsense, basically. And yeah, he's got a new podcast now, and you can just put in Nevin Gusak, the Politically Homeless podcast. He says that this is the thing I've been trying to get Nevin to understand. Nevin was hoping that we could have reforms in the United States and we could save the country. But I basically, you know, myself, I know that there is no shade of opinion that's going to accept what I'm saying, the warnings I've given all these years, because I've been doing this for so long. I know that everyone believes things that are wrong. That is, the disinformation is so thick and the counterfactual information is so overpowering that people just cannot accept the real facts, because they contradict things they just know are true that really aren't. And so Nevin, and I said, Nevin, you can't get people to square one here. And now he realizes it, that he's really fallen between two stools. So.
Thank you. That's cool. That's interesting. That's all that I have.
Okay, Thomas, thank you. Don't be a stranger. We always appreciate your calls. The call number is 512-248-8252. So we're a summer battle season, because the ground can support the heavy equipment is about halfway through. When does the ground start getting so wet that it can't support this equipment typically, Jeff, if you know?
It's late September and October is when the fall rains. The fall rains are shorter than the spring because there's no snow melt. But yeah, we're getting as we get into September, there'll be more frequent rain, and the ground could even turn, you know, by mid-September, the ground could be unusable. But there really isn't much happening in the war, because it's, you know, the Russians laid so many minefields that the Ukrainians can't advance and the Russians can't advance because they don't have effective offensive units in the field, and they're having serious trouble with their logistics.
Well, logistics is what it comes down to in many, if not most, of these conflicts, right, Jeff?
Yeah, logistics is something that the Russians have always been weak at, and it was like General Patton made much of this when he talked about we needed to kick the Russians out of Eastern Europe after World War II. He famously had a conversation with the U.S. diplomat saying, you know, I know how we could do it if they don't leave, and it's their logistics is their Achilles heel. So it always has been the case with their military system. You know, they have enough trucks to supply a division maybe 90 kilometers from the railhead, and that's about it.
Amazing. Well, I've seen the shortfalls in logistics in the U.S. Army as well. Where at the beginning of the Tet Offensive, the men in my outfit had one 20-round magazine per man and enough food to feed everybody one meal if we split that one C-ration meal between two men. That was it. That's all we had. So I've seen this happen firsthand.
Yeah, and that offensive was stopped. You know, that offensive was stopped, and the Viet Cong were so decimated they never recovered from that disaster, basically, because their supply was even worse than yours.
Especially in the South. And, the Viet Cong were never effective on the battlefield again after that. After then, it was mostly a North Vietnamese army after that. They ran up against a concrete wall and got smashed is what happened. So moving on from there, the Communist Chinese continue to make inroads here and there. They're determined to take over most of the South Pacific, aren't they?
Well, yeah, this is what Mr. Wang told me last year, is that their ultimate plan is to go past the second island chain and launch an offensive and blockade Taiwan and come after the United States, probably a nuclear Pearl Harbor type strike.
And ultimately, as said by the Chinese defense minister, which his speech is at my website. Jeff, over the weekend, I spent some private time with Ambassador Alan Keyes, and he's on board with what you and I talk about. He's absolutely convinced that the China wants to colonize the United States and have no Americans present. So he's on board with us, which if you didn't know that, I think you might be glad to hear that.
Yeah, Alan Keyes is a pretty interesting guy.
I hope to have him as a guest soon. I may be able to interview him while you're on with us, because I think the three of us could have a very fascinating conversation, don't you think, sir?
Oh, yeah. He's very knowledgeable, Mr. Keyes. He's knowledgeable about American law and the Constitution and history. Very interesting fellow.
He is. And, well, moving on from there, I use the bumper music from Red Dawn for a reason, because my belief, and Jeff shares my belief, is that ultimately, when all the culture war is finished, all the political machinations, all the intrigue is done, it's going to be boots on the ground to finish up taking over America, won't it, sir?
Well, yeah, it depends on how it falls out and how effective the Chinese are and what they're doing, and the Russians. The Russians are going to invade, too, only they're going to invade Alaska and Canada. So that's sort of the plan that was originated back in as far back as 1991-92. This is what the defector Colonel Stanislav Lunev came with. And people here just didn't want to believe it because our plutocrats wanted to trade with China. They saw an opportunity to get access to cheap Chinese labor, and they couldn't pass it up. It was too good, and they decided to believe what they wanted to believe, which is that China just wanted to become a normal country. And we can see now that that's not true.
Absolutely. The evidence is self-evident that is exactly their goal. What, if anything, do you know about the internal turmoil, like the rate of unemployment in China? They're getting ready for World War III. What's going on inside China that you could tell us about, Jeff?
Sorry, could you say that again?
I say again, what are the internal politics of China, the rate of unemployment, manufacturing crisis, if there is one. What updates, if any, do you have on that, sir?
Well, there's the people being laid off in China, their manufacturing sector, they registered, they actually admitted to deflation for the first time here recently. Deflation means that there's one of the problems with the Chinese economy is their banking system's a house of cards. They're massively indebted, and they had a real estate bubble. You know, when you have too much money and you have inflation, you end up with bubbles. And when they burst, you have a depression.
Here's our break. Call number is 512-248-8255. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D-printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool town. There I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by The Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, check out The Energy Cleaner. Arthritis, pain, slowing you down, same thing. Energy cleaners and the mattress pads that go with them are at thelibertyman.com. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. You can place your order right there at thelibertyman.com using MasterCard, PayPal, Visa, or call my toll-free airline 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website is jrnyquist.blog. His books are sale at Amazon. Jeff, before I get back to our callers, we don't have any callers at the moment. Tell people how they can subscribe to your website, please.
Well, to support my website, you go under every video or article, and there's a PayPal button. And it's usually pretty easy to use.
Very simple and straightforward, and I encourage people to do that. Looks like our next caller is calling from about 6 time zones away. We got Oregon in Norway. Good morning, Oregon.
Yeah, correct. Good afternoon, fellas. I'm calling because I've been listening in today about what's happening in Hawaii and the cover-up. In China, in Beijing, there has been a severe flooding. I saw reports on YouTube, this channel Lao Y 86. I like what he and his colleague are doing there on YouTube. They have made a video, what happened after the Beijing floods. And it seems like the authorities in Hawaii is also taking some notes from the Beijing government. My experience is so too many Western governments take their cue from Chinese government these days. This is the problem you also are talking about. But these cover-ups are going on, and I wonder if Jeff has studied these floods and what happened before and after and during.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, as everybody knows, there's been some unusual solar activity in recent years. And also the Earth's electromagnetic field is changing, and we've never historically gone through this before. And of course, China traditionally has periods of famine, or rather drought and flooding. And they've had in the last few years a number of serious flood years. And of course, it is a totalitarian state with central control. So what they did in Beijing, that they didn't want Beijing flooded, so they were able to destroy dikes that other communities had set up around Beijing, and they caused them to be flooded. So the water would not be pushed into them. And of course, that created serious anger. The reason that the Chinese model, like with the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, the West started following this Chinese model of locking people down, is because this new religion of socialism, which of course China is a socialist or communist state, is really the fad in our universities. And the administrative staff of most governments, local and central governments, are made up of people who've been educated at universities and have absorbed these essential Marxist or pseudo-Marxist ideas and believe in government control of society. And they look at China as an appealing model. I mean, you've got Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum. He says China is the model of the future. This is the way we want our societies to operate, which is just horrific. Of course, Klaus Schwab really is operating a communist front organization, and he's been buddies with Xi Jinping and Putin for years. But that's the whole idea, is to turn the West into a socialist series of commonwealths to be merged with China and Russia at some future date. And that's sort of a dream. The Russians and Chinese want this merger to happen on their terms. But, of course, they're running into problems because Western socialists have a sort of a different vision than the socialists who've actually lived under this stultifying autocracy or totalitarianism.
I've seen that one German minister or some member of cabinet, his name is Olaf Scholz. He has, in 26 February this year, he declared the Zeitwende for Germany, that they should start to rearm again. I wonder both what you and the German caller thinks about this, because what I see in Western media here is that it's a very good thing and very bold move without taking in any historical context. I'm just wondering what Jeff thinks about this.
Okay, we'll get Jeff's response after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay, yeah. I hang up.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names, Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
My website is thelibertyman.com. It's going to be winter pretty soon. Labor Day is only about 2-3 weeks away. So get ready for winter now. You want to stay warm, stay cozy, and save money like I do? Check out the Liberator Rocket Heater. I'm the Executive Vice President of the company. We have stoves in stock, ready for immediate shipment. 99.5% efficient. No smoke. You can safely burn pine and cedar, other softwoods. And less than $3,000 delivered to your door. It's a great stove. They're safe, they're efficient, and will help you stay warm and cozy. Details at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. His books are sale on Amazon. Jeff, you were cut off by the break. Please continue.
Yeah, the question about Germany rearming is interesting. Of course, Germany is the biggest economy in Western Europe, and they're not carrying their weight in NATO. And they have this hangover from World War II. You're Norwegian. Your country got invaded by Germany in 1940. So people have that memory. But as that generation that experienced the German invasions and warfare have gone away, Germany's really a different country. And Germany needs to pick up its responsibility, because you do have this problem. What happens if Ukraine collapses? Polish army's not big enough. The Romanian army's not big enough. German army is in terrible shape. The French won't be ready for 2 more years. The U.S. army is pretty small and has responsibilities in the Pacific. So, you know, and the British army's small. So how do you cope with this? And, of course, the Russians have tactical nuclear weapons. Europe is not able to match them yet. So it is a serious problem for Europe if Russia should win this war. And so it's good if Germany has not kept up. You know, Germany's promised this rearmament, but they've not met their targets for military spending even now.
Well, Orgon's gone, but I'm sure he's listening, and we do appreciate that comment there, that response, a very comprehensive response.
Yeah.
We had open lines. The call number is 512-248-8252. Jeff, something we've talked about, but we never verified either one of us, my belief, and I have no evidence, that when the Dick and Jane readers were introduced in the 1930s to American public schools, the introduction of sight reading as opposed to teaching phonics, they took a system to teach young Americans how to read and write and understand English that was working really good, and they broke it. And I was reading an article by a college professor the other day lamenting that his young students, his college students, simply don't read any literature of any consequence. And he was lamenting that they don't do it, but he wasn't lamenting because maybe he doesn't know. They're not reading because they can't read. And reading for people under age 50 especially is not fun, it's not enjoyable, and they don't do it unless they have to. That's very fundamental in having a republic, is having a literate citizens, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, literacy is the basis of everything. Of course, this has been a problem. You have Neil Postman wrote a book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. I think it came out in 1985, no, maybe 1987. And Postman said, we live in a post-literate society. Everybody gets their news from television and radio, and they don't really read anymore, and they don't read serious books. You know, even back in 1985, only, I think it was 2%, maybe a little less than 2% of people read at least one book a year. Now, that's very small. Now, lots of people read magazines and newspapers back then. But now, reading magazines and newspapers is rather gone down. As you can see, the major newspapers are just losing subscribers left and right.
That's right.
People, I think as the older generation dies off, the newer generation's not interested in news. And, of course, when I even look at people my own age and I hear them talk about, you know, like Robert F. Kennedy, now he's an intelligent you would think educated person, a lawyer, he confused Sevastopol with Vladivostok. He said Vladivostok is Russia's port in the Black Sea. No, Vladivostok is in the Pacific, is in the far Russian Far East. And he said, like, in World War II, Nazi Germany invaded Russia through Ukraine. No, there was one of the three German army groups. Army Group South invaded Ukraine. Army Group Center went straight for Moscow via Smolensk and Minsk and Smolensk. And the other army group went up to Leningrad. It just isn't true. So you see, the thing is, people, it's not what people don't know. It's what they think they know that this just isn't true, that they've gotten. And because they don't have, they just sort of pick things up by word of mouth that are wrong, or they read conspiracy literature that has a lot of factual inaccuracies in it. They get those facts stuck in their head, and then when they look at real histories, they go, oh, no, that's just the conspiracy wrote those histories, you know.
Right.
You know, and I just saw this morning, you know, with the JFK assassination stuff, I just saw the Uncommon Knowledge with the fellow over there at the Hoover Institute, and he interviewed a man who was friends with Lee Harvey Oswald. He'd spent the summer of 1962 with Lee Harvey Oswald and his wife, Marina Oswald, and discussed all the personal details of Oswald, the fact that Oswald spoke ungrammatical Russian. Now, this young man spoke Russian. His dad was a Russian immigrant who was involved in the Russian community in Fort Worth. And, of course, before the Oswalds moved to Dallas, they lived in Fort Worth. And so he kind of showed them around and bought them groceries and befriended them. And he said Oswald was a convinced Marxist, and that he would come back from the library with loads of Marxist books, and that he had this desire for historical glory. And so if you watch that, I posted it on my Twitter, that Uncommon Knowledge, it's just, the details about Oswald, they're all against all these conspiracy theories. And basically he talked about, it was his father that translated the news to Marina Oswald that her husband had been killed by Jack Ruby. I mean, so these people were very, this man was very close to the Oswalds. And he said that, you know, Oswald's wife, he didn't want his wife to learn English. And they spoke Russian in their home. And he didn't want to speak English. And he was very jealous of his wife. And so this was a man whose portrait has not been well painted. And what he said is there, you know, he knew these people. He said, Oswald wanted to do this. Oswald acted alone. It's very clear to me. So this is someone who knew him. And yet you have somebody like RFK saying that he knew that William Harvey of the CIA was Oswald's handler. It's just ludicrous, you know. And so the thing is, there's been, you know, the maybe the best book on the Kennedy assassination is Case Closed. And the thing is that nobody bothers to read these books, and they just go, there's like 100 different conspiracy theories, none of them consistent with each other, all of them filled with so-called facts, you know. And just one example of a fact is the claim that somebody confiscated the x-rays of President Kennedy from Parkland Hospital after his death. Well, that was the Kennedy family. They have those things. And they had, you know, people saying the Zapruder film shows that Kennedy was shot from the front. The Kennedy family hired people to examine those x-rays. And the experts said, no, he was shot from behind. This is clear from the x-rays. Entry wounds and exit wounds. Very simple stuff. But you have these persistent myths and counterfactuals. So, you know, and you can't, you literally can't, it's become a religion with people. And of course, it's fun and they become a group. So you can't even question the stuff that a Marxist, see, the whole left initially had a reason not to believe that Oswald killed Kennedy because he was a leftist. He was a Marxist. And you don't want to admit that a Marxist killed President Kennedy. And so now the right has joined in on this, that the CIA killed Kennedy. And so this has become a fact in the minds of 60% of the, now there's 30% of the public that doesn't believe the conspiracy theories, but there's 60% that do. And that distorts our politics, distorts our judgment about everything that happens now. And you know what this fellow said who knew Lee and Marina Oswald, he said the FBI came by and they were incompetent. He says basically the FBI was incompetent. And he said, as far as the Treasury Department, the Secret Service guys who work for the Treasury Department, they were mad as can be that this happened. They wanted to investigate because they felt the FBI had not done its job. And, of course, this is the real cover-up of incompetence on the part of our security agencies.
All right. Well said, Jeff. Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Mr. Nyquist, I would like to know how many people in Germany are aware of the role that Stalin and the Soviets played in the rise of the Nazis to power in acting in conjunction with the German communists to bring the Nazis to power, and what the real reason was that were aware that Stalin was planning to attack Hitler, and that Hitler realized what was going on, saw through his game and attacked first.
Well, I think that some Germans are more aware of, there may be more painfully aware of the history of World War I and World War II than we are here in the Anglosphere. Hitler made a deal with the devil when he signed on with Stalin in the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact in August of 1939. And, of course, he did so because he wanted to aggrandize himself by partitioning Poland with Stalin. And he got snookered by Stalin, and he ended up in a war with Britain and France and the United States that destroyed Germany. So Hitler made some serious misjudgments. There's a guy named Ernst, forgetting his last name, he wrote a book called Hitler's War. It's a thin little volume written by a German who was a veteran of Sixth Army, who I guess he got sick, so he was not in Sixth Army when it was surrounded and destroyed at Stalingrad in 19, in February of 1943. But he wrote this fine little volume on the diplomatic history with wonderful sourcing. He sort of spent the rest of his life wondering how this catastrophe of World War II had happened. And he wrote his book before, by the way, Viktor Suvorov wrote Icebreaker, and then Viktor Suvorov's second book, which is The Chief Culprit, which is these books, and I think they've been translated into German, I'm quite certain they have, in which he uses extensive Russian sources to prove that Stalin was preparing World War II. And in fact, it was Lenin's idea to have a World War II, because they believed that that would be how communism could take over Europe, is through World War II. Of course, they only got half of Europe because Hitler almost wiggled out of the trap by attacking Russia in June 1941. But yeah, Hitler was in a trap. He had ended up at war with the Allies, and there was Russia behind him, building up and starting to mobilize. And he realized in descent, you know, Molotov went to Berlin in November of 1940 and basically just needled Hitler. You're going to make Bulgaria our ally. You're going to give us Finland. You're going to do this and that. And Hitler was saying, no, no, just attack the British Empire in the south. You don't need to. But they were basically pushing Hitler. They intended to push Hitler out of key resource areas. And they were threatening the Romanian oil fields by their annexation of Bessarabia and Bukovina in 1940. So Hitler had to go to war with them because he could see they were planning to stab him in the back. And when many German officials were questioned about why they invaded Russia in 1941, they said, well, it was a preemptive war. They were going to attack us first. And of course, whoever struck first was going to have the advantage. And of course, the Germans were better organized than the Russians. They were able to mobilize faster. They struck first. And of course, these same problems we see in the Russian military today were manifesting then. It's part of their military culture. And the Russians lost tremendous suffered tremendous defeats, and Hitler almost defeated them. But yeah, this is a history of World War II that has not been clearly understood, although many historians are coming around to it now.
Okay.
Right. Well, there's one other thing. What do you know of a French documentary called Hitler Stalin Dangerous Liaison? It was a cut down version was put on. I have a VHS recording of. It's called Hitler Stalin Dangerous Liaison. It was published in 1990. Came out in 1993.
I think I've seen it, saw it some years ago. I don't really recall it that. Is it along the same lines as Viktor Suvorov?
And very much along, but except it's French.
Yeah, well, the French, of course, have a very special reason to be upset about what happened, because France suffered, you know, a defeat in World War II and an occupation for 4 years. So it very much negatively affected them, and I think that if, you know, hindsight's always, you know, 20/20, but the West didn't really understand how dangerous Hitler was, how unpredictable, and what a gambler he was, and what he was willing to do. And they also didn't understand Stalin and how Stalin was manipulating all the major countries. I've done a video that's going to be produced on a new channel on the internet, but on this subject, and they don't, you know, you've got the, you know, Hitler's secretary Martin Bormann was a Soviet agent, the head of the Gestapo Heinrich Mueller was a Soviet agent. You have in America, you had Harry Hopkins, you had Elger Hiss, you had Harry Dexter White, all these Soviet agents in the White House back then.
John, thank you for your call. We'll wrap this up with one more call after the break. We'll be right back.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back. Kyle in Montana, we're almost out of time. Quick question, please.
Yep, I agree. Jeff, along the lines of truth being the first casualty of war, it's being reported that Russia lost over 4,000 troops recently, in a very short period of time, and that they've lost a total of 250,000 troops in this war. Do you believe that's true?
I think that's roughly probably the number of casualties, dead, missing, and wounded. I think it's at least 200,000. It's probably around 250,000. And there's different ways of calculating that. You know, they can count destroyed vehicles from satellites, and they've done so. And they can also look at the number of mobilized Russian units and see that the Russian military forces aren't gaining in strength. So they must be losing their strength somewhere. And if you do some rough calculations, you know, pencil and paper calculations, you can see those numbers are about what you'd expect.
That is approximately like one-fifth of their military, isn't it?
No, not really. Their military is pretty large, but it's as far as the ground troops, ground forces go, It's a considerable number of their ground forces. You know,
okay.
It's probably 1/5 of their ground forces. At least their ground forces, they've had some mobilizations, remember. And those mobilizations have been to make up the difference. And they've had problems with desertions. People that they forced to go into these military training or to the front, many of them have deserted. We don't really have a good idea of the desertion rate except for the stories that we've heard. And, of course, there's been sabotage of Russian recruitment centers in Russia to prevent call-ups. So there's a lot of passive resistance in Russia to being drawn into this war. Of course, it's brutal for the Russian soldiers, the people that do get put in the front, and they use them. They are using World War II tactics, where they use men as cannon fodder to draw Ukrainian artillery fire and then use counter battery fire on the Ukrainians. So this is a horrific way to fight. Yeah.
Using those kind of numbers, though, you would think at some point, A, it's either going to end soon, or B, you're forcing Russia into a nuclear exchange.
Well, if Russia was going to do a nuclear exchange, they would have done it by now. So they can maintain their front because they're three times the size of Ukraine. You know, these people that say that Ukraine lost, you know, that it was the other way around, you know, RFK again. Russia's lost 40,000 and Ukraine has lost 350,000. He says this incredible numbers in the Tucker Carlson interview. That's idiotic, because if a country is attacked by a country three times its size and suffers more than seven times the casualties, they just collapse. Ukraine would have collapsed long ago. The only reason Ukraine is holding the field is the casualty rate is much higher on the Russians, and their offense has been blunted. Yeah.
Kyle, thank you for the call. Jeff, thank you, sir. We'll have you back next week. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it for today. Get your medical supplies, your engine cleaning, essential oils now while you can. Get your firearms, ammunition, and never ever give up your guns. Please be safe. Have a great day, and God bless America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today.